Well, today is Palm Sunday, if you haven't figured that out by now. And Palm Sunday begins what we call Holy Week. And I have to confess to you that every single year when it's time for Holy Week, I start thinking, how can I make this service and every service for Holy Week exciting and meaningful? And I think there's something that just comes over pastors during this time, and we start thinking, how can we make it better than last year? And we even call each other on the phone. What are y'all going to do? Well, what are you going to do? Well, we're doing this. Well, we're doing that. Well, last year I did this, but next year we fall into that trap of trying to think that we can make the gospel more exciting and enticing than it already is. Now, for sure, our Maundy Thursday and Good Friday services will be different from what we usually do on Sunday. They will be quiet and reflective. They will give us ways to experience the events of those days in ways that we wouldn't normally experience worship. But here's the deal. Our story, this story, the story of Jesus is the same every single year. We don't need to make it more exciting than it really is. I want you to hear this. The gospel can stand on its own without any humans making it better than it already is. But we do need to relive these stories every single year, year after year after year. And we do need to teach these stories to our children. We need to know these stories so well that we can sit around and recite them and tell the story just as well as we can tell a story about what happened in certain places at certain times. Stories that we tell over and over and over again. These stories of Jesus and how they affect we, his followers, are important for us to tell year after year after year, no matter how we think, well, I've heard it so many times. And so I'm going to give you the short version today of what happened in Holy Week. I'll try not to take us all the way to Easter Sunday like I did at 8:30. But here's what happens. Jesus has this triumphal ride into this city of Jerusalem. So he tells two of the disciples to go and get a donkey, a donkey's colt there at the edge of town. And if somebody says, what are you doing? All they're supposed to say is the master needs it, and that somehow that's going to make it okay. And for sure it did. And then he gets on that donkey and he rides into town, and there's all these people there, and they see him coming, and it sort of looks like a parade. And we'll talk about that in a minute. The next day, Jesus clears the temple of the money changers and gets a little out of hand. And in John, he even uses whips. He's so mad. And then on Tuesday and Wednesday, some other things happen. His feet are anointed by a woman from Bethany, and some different things happen. But Thursday is when it gets really serious. And he and the disciples share the Passover meal together. And they prepare everything, and they sit down, and Jesus knows what's going to happen. And even as they share that Passover meal, he says, someone is going to betray me. He knew exactly who it was. And he broke bread with that person anyway. Judas didn't leave until after the meal was over. Did you ever know that? Also on that Thursday, Jesus washes the disciples' feet. Well, after Judas leaves, the disciples and Jesus go to Gethsemane, where Jesus asks them to wait while he goes to pray, and he goes to pray, and they all fall asleep. And he says, couldn't you stay up just a little bit longer and wait with me? Because he knew what he was waiting for. And sure enough, here came some soldiers, and Judas, his disciple, and he's arrested. They take him to the chief priest's house, Caiaphas, and Caiaphas and the other religious leaders spit on him, and they whip him, and they send him on to Pilate. They send him to Pilate, who was the governor of the region, and Pilate questions him, and he can't find anything wrong with him. So then Pilate sends him to Herod, and Herod questions him, and Herod can't find anything wrong. So then he sends him back to Pilate, and then Pilate finally says, I can't find anything wrong with this man. And so a crowd is gathered by this time, and Pilate says to the crowd, listen, every year we let somebody go for kind of a Passover present for all of y'all. And I got this guy Barabbas, who is a real criminal. You could just let Jesus go, and I could execute Barabbas. And the crowd says, nope. We want you to kill Jesus. Crucify him, they say. And so Jesus is whipped and beaten, and he has to carry his cross to Golgotha, the hill of the skull. And there he is crucified in front of his mother and all of his followers. And the day ends when they take his body to the tomb and leave it there. And I'm going to leave you there till next Sunday. But that's the short version of what happens during Holy Week. And so why is it then that every year we think, oh my goodness, Holy Week is such a hard time, maybe I'll just kind of skip that hard part. Well, let me tell you what the other Gospels do with Palm Sunday, because it's not the same in every single Gospel. John is the only one that actually even mentions palms. Who knew? Matthew and Mark talk about people cutting down branches. They go to the trees and they cut down branches and they wave these branches as Jesus comes into the city. Luke doesn't even have greenery at all. John has Jesus going into Jerusalem alone without the disciples. Luke has the disciples praising Jesus and declaring his miracles to the people. Mark has this more restrained approach, which he has about everything. That's just Mark. He's kind of a just the facts, ma'am, sort of guy. And then Matthew is the one who includes children. And Matthew includes two donkeys, not one, two donkeys. And he also includes that prophetic fulfillment of the scriptures that we read just a minute ago, and which you'll hear again. Now, that day must have been really exciting. And in a way, it's like Jesus was in this parade, you know? But it wasn't a parade like anything we've ever experienced. There wasn't a registration. You didn't have to, like, call in and say, I'm going to have a float in the parade. There weren't people who were organized and gathered saying, there's going to be a parade over on this side of town. Let's all go. It wasn't that kind of parade at all. It was sort of a spontaneous parade. But the fact is, the people had heard of Jesus. They knew who he was. And so when they found out it was this guy Jesus coming into town riding this donkey, they all wanted to go out. And they knew that he could fulfill miracles and do all kinds of things. And so they started saying, Hosanna, Hosanna. Now, what you might not know, maybe you do, but what you might not know is the word Hosanna means Lord, save us. And I always wonder, well, I wonder what they wanted to be saved from. But the fact is, if I ask all of you, every one of you in this room today, what is it you want to be saved from? I think we'd probably have a different answer from just about all of you. So the people were just saying, Lord, save us. And Jesus was like the rock star that day. But by Friday, those same people were demanding that he be killed. Now, it doesn't take people very long to change their minds when they don't get what they expected. But we know that. We see it on the news every single day. We experience it at work. We can experience it at the doctor's office. This doctor was supposed to do this, and he or she didn't do it. We get it in our minds that someone is going to save us from trial, and then we find out that our expectations about that person don't really measure up to what the reality is about him or her. I've actually heard people say that their greatest fear is that someone's going to find out that they're not really who the other person thinks they are. A lot of people have that fear. I really know who I am inside. All these other people think I'm like this nice person, and I'm not. We live in fear that somebody might find out who we are deep, deep down. But part of the problem of this day of Palm Sunday was the fact that the ones whose expectations were unrealistic were really the ones who caused their own problems. And the fact is, I believe that even today, we are still having problems with our expectations about who Jesus is. And so I have a question for all of you today. Are you ready? One question. What do you expect from Jesus? What do you expect from Jesus? Are you looking for a miracle worker? Are you looking for somebody to change you into a successful and stress-free individual? Are you thinking that Jesus will solve all of your financial problems and get other people to agree with you and always think that you're right? Jesus made no such claims. I want to throw that out there. He never claimed to be somebody who could magically snap his fingers and make us comfortable. Even when people were changed instantly in the stories in the Gospels, it is almost always as a result of a physical healing. It is rare that Jesus changes somebody instantly to have a better attitude, I guess, would might maybe be a way to say that. But even the disciples had unrealistic expectations of Jesus sometimes, and he called them his friends. And even they were not able to see who he was deep down inside. You see, the fact is, Palm Sunday gives us a glimpse into our own human behavior. It's a day that we set aside to honor and celebrate Jesus as he rides into the city that day, fulfilling that prophecy from Zechariah, the 9th chapter, verse 9, "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." We'd like to think that we're making it all about Jesus, but are we? Are we really worshiping Jesus, or are we asking him for something? Are we asking Jesus to give us what we want and then turning away when he doesn't deliver? Are we saying, "I love you, Lord, you know I love you, but I'm really busy right now and I can't give you any of my time, I know you understand." Okay, I've been guilty of that. I haven't said it in those words, but in my actions, I certainly have neglected to give Jesus the amount of time in my life that I give to others. When the people laid their coats and their branches to make way for the one they asked to save them, did they have any idea how that week would end? Did they have any idea that they would be demanding his death in only 4 or 5 days? Did they have any idea who they were asking to save them? Rhett's going to show us a video to give us an idea of who Jesus is.
It was not the first time Jerusalem had been flooded with people shouting Hosanna. That was Passover. It happened every year, with branches representing victory. Pilgrims would stream into the gates, prepared to recite together Psalm 113 through 118, including the joyful greeting, "Hosanna, Lord save us. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." But this was different. The rabbi on the donkey was a sensation, a worker of true miracles, and a teacher unlike any other. It was said he had raised a dead man back to life. Surely he had the power of God. Those fortunate enough to see him entering the city shouted out their greetings and made the way more beautiful by laying down their cloaks and branches, as they would do for the most honored of men. That was Passover. That was the celebration of the blood of the lambs. God kept his word, and the angel passed over their sons in Egypt. How many hoped this man would be that angel of death for the Romans? How few understood that he was, instead, the Lamb. The Lamb whose blood would save them from sin and death. Had they known, would they have gone silent? Or would they have joined us today, shouting more loudly still, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord"?
We are a fickle people, not really unlike those who lined the road that day. And this week, as you reflect on the events of Holy Week, and I pray that you will reflect on the events of Holy Week, remind yourself of this story and what its final outcome is. Don't dwell in the excitement of Palm Sunday and follow it up only with the excitement of Easter. Just as we mourn with the people of Egypt today, we mourn with our Savior as he went through unspeakable horror during that week. May we remember that Jesus saves us not from our misery, but from our sin. And we have to be willing to admit that we are sinful people if we can believe that we are being saved from our sin. May we not forget that Easter comes with a cost and that there is pain and suffering to come before we can proclaim joyfully that Jesus is alive. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.